Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
We are excited about this weekend because I want to talk to you today about the subject of nothing just happens. Nothing just happens. Everybody shout it with me. Nothing just happens. In other words, there's a divine appointment oftentimes tied to the next level for your life. So God's doing something big in your life and the enemy fights you so hard. Sometimes we need to put closure to that because we have inside the disappointment, if you look really hard inside the disappointment, there's a divine appointment. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. I said somebody ought to help me right now. At least I can count on Earth City. So inside of you have to look really hard because there is a divine appointment inside the disappointment and it helps bring closure. Have you ever thought to yourself, man, it seems like I don't understand why I went through all these bad things. Raise your hand. I want to say to the people that haven't went through many bad things yet, it's because you haven't lived long enough. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. I hate listening. I'm going to tell you something I shouldn't tell you. But I hate listening to some young preachers who have never went through anything because they have no life experience. And they're talking about you don't understand. And they know how to raise kids. And they ain't got one children. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. They know all about marriage. They've been married 6 weeks. Who am I talking to today? And so you don't have life experience to realize that stuff happens. Stuff beyond your control. Things that you want to control that you can't control. But there's only really one person that's in total control, and I think you know who it is, and it ain't you. It's bad grammar, but it's good theology. Look at your neighbor and say, it ain't you.
Ain't you.
I'm driving all the English majors crazy right now. So we need to bring closure to it. Nothing just happens. When I was thinking about this today, and we're going to go into some passages this whole weekend, and I was thinking about how that a few years ago, Nicole was preaching in Shreveport, Louisiana. Any LSU fans in the house? And so, and one person here, and I can hear her. So, LSU. And she went to preach this conference. She thought she was there for one reason, but she was actually there for another reason. Yes, she blessed women, and yes, people got helped. But the pastor, he forgot his wallet when they all went out to eat after church. And how many of y'all know that's a problem? That's embarrassing. And so, you know, some of y'all intentionally forgot your wallet. Come on, somebody. You ever been out to eat with people that need to go to the bathroom the time the check comes? Come on, raise your hand right now. If you didn't raise your hand, I'm assuming it's you that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So he forgot his wallet, so he calls what now is my daughter-in-law. He calls her because she's been raised in the house of the Lord in Shreveport. She was serving at the church. Her mama, Mary Jane, was serving at the church. They knew them so well. And so he was just, that whole family was just all tied together. So he called MJ and said, MJ, I need you to go to my house and get my wallet. How many of y'all know that's a tight relationship when people can get into your house and get your wallet? Come on, raise your hand if people in your wallet right now. Come on. All right, so she shows up. When she shows up with the wallet, all of a sudden, check this out, something in Nicole's spirit leaps. Now, Austin is dating a girl and had been dating a girl for a couple of years, and we really liked her. She was a great person. There was nothing wrong with her. But how many of y'all know it's rough to be with the wrong one when the right one comes along? Come on, somebody. And so Nicole saw it, and she saw Pastor Morgan. Come on out. So she didn't know exactly what it meant, but she knew something was up. And watch this divine appointment. Watch, nothing just happens. I said, nothing just happens. He said, Morgan, sit down and join us. So they started having conversations. She said, what do you do? She said, I'm the producer of Tiger TV. I am the anchor woman for Tiger TV. And then eventually she ends up coming to the women's conference in St. Louis. Nothing happens by accident. Now, the Cardinals were playing. Let's give it up for the Cardinals right now. And they were playing some good ball. And Austin and me and some other people took her. They don't think anything's going on. Nothing just happens. We go to the ball game. Then after the ball game, she's not thinking anything. He's not thinking anything. I don't think he was thinking anything. But then we went to Steak and Shake and we went out to eat. Nothing just happens. And then one thing led to another. And about a week later, Austin tells me, he said, this is the craziest thing in the world, but that's the girl I'm going to marry. And he had never said that before. He'd never been married before. Come on, somebody. And so I said, what? But he had a divine appointment, and God used the forgetfulness of that pastor leaving his wallet to cause a supernatural happening for her to show up. Come on, somebody. So they could do what God called them to do. Nothing happens by accident. Shout it again. Nothing happens by accident. Now, Ruth. There's a whole Bible in the book called Ruth, and we're going to go there to chapter 2, verse 15. It says, when she arose to glean, I jumped ahead. I got so excited. I can't help it. Let's go to Ruth 1. That's before 2. It's 1 before 2. 1, you make them dreams come true. 2. When I said 2, I can't help it because I haven't eaten in a while. I was thinking of number 2 from McDonald's. Come on, somebody. It's supersized. 1:1. Now it came to pass in the days when judges rules that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man in Bethlehem in Judah went to dwell in the country of Moab, and his wife and his two sons in the country of Moab, they went with him. Now the name of the man was Elimelech, and his wife was Naomi, and the names of the two sons were Maon and Chilion, and they lived and remained there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. And notice this, they went there temporarily because there was a famine in the land that they were at, and they thought this would just be a temporary thing, but it wound up being 10 years. Anybody ever had something you've been dealing with for 10 years? Come on, don't point at anybody, but just think about it. And now she's in this land, and her husband dies. Now, verse 4 says, now they took wives of the women of Moab. One's name was Orpah, and the other was Ruth, and they dwelt there for 10 years. Now, all of a sudden, Mahlon and Chilion, they died. How many of y'all know this is horrible? She loses her husband. Now she loses her two sons. It's looking like life is over, but nothing just happens. Everybody shout, nothing just happens. Now, I want you to pay attention right now. Now, at this moment in life, she feels an inner prompting. Naomi, the mother-in-law. She feels a prompting that she needs to now go to the city and return to the city where she came from. And when she does this, she looks at her two daughter-in-laws, and I always like to call the one Oprah because it's easier. Come on, somebody. Look at Oprah. She looked at, I'm going to mess it up now. She looked at Orpah, and she looked at Ruth, and she said, stay here while I go back. And they said, no, no, no. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. And so she said, no, listen, you got to go live your own life because you don't understand. If I were to get married right now and have children today, you couldn't wait 20 years for those kids to grow up. You need to get on with your own life. And so the one, not Ruth, hence the name of the book, Ruth says, no, wherever you go, I'm going to go. But then this other one, she looks and she says, you know what, I'm going to kiss you goodbye. And so she leaves. I want to talk about people leaving and nothing just happens. There are times in your life when people who you thought were going to be with you the whole time, till death do you part. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. You knew beyond a shadow of a doubt they were going to be ever. I mean, they know your secrets. They know the codes. They know everything. And then all of a sudden they leave. There are kissers and cleavers. So there's some people will kiss you and they will leave you. And some people will kiss you and they will cleave to you. And so you have to understand that God's doing something in your life. Even if you're in a situation to where, yes, there was a famine and it took 10 years. Now my husband died. Now my kids are dead. What do I do? But there's always somebody who has a divine destiny that is tied to you that'll be with you all the way to the end. Somebody ought to help me right now. Now, we never hear again about the other daughter-in-law, but we continue to hear the story. Hence, the whole book of Ruth is written about a woman who said, I'm going to obey God. I'm going to stay, even though it doesn't look like there's anything in it for me. I'm going to follow through on this thing because nothing just happens. Now, when they go to the next town, in fact, you might be there right now, to where you're in between jobs, you're in between relationships. Come on, Sunset Hills. Come on, our city. Come on, Weldon. See, you're in this tight spot, and sometimes in those moments, you have to be careful Because the devil will try to take a hold of your mind, and depression will try to take a hold of your mind, and it'll try to say something is wrong with you. When in all reality, you might be doing all the right things, and you can be right in the divine movement of God. You can be in the divine flow of God, and that's why hell is fighting you so hard. That's why the Bible said, don't grow weary in well-doing. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. You will reap if you faint not. But there's obstacles. So with inside the disappointment, all of a sudden Ruth sees, I don't think I have an appointment, but the one thing I'm going to do is do what I said that I'm going to do. Yeah, yeah. I always say this, and you ought to write it down. Do what's right because it's right and do it right. Do what's right because it's right and do it right. See, there's something about faithfulness. Ruth said, I don't really have a promise in the next city. I really don't even know what we're going to do, but here's what I know. I know that I have a covenant relationship. There was a bond that was broken. When I was a virgin and I got married to your son, now there was a blood covenant that happened, and now we are one, and not only am I one with him, I'm one with you. And his mom became my mom. It's called the supernatural covenant. In fact, there's some people in my life that are just as close to me as my biological kids. I want Austin to jump up here. You tall, long-legged thing, just jump up and you can do whatever you want to do. But this guy right here is not biologically my son. But when he was 8 years old and he looked up to me, and now that has now reversed. When he was 8 years old, I looked at him and I loved him, and there was a covenant between he and I that grew stronger and stronger. And he has a great dad in Dallas, but he had a father that was a covenant relationship, and he stuck with me through thick, through thin, through hard times, through bad times, through good times, through college, through sports. He said, wherever you go, called me Papa when he was little, still does, but you know, that's a whole nother thing. His mama called me Big Daddy, but that's a whole thing. Come on, somebody right now. Mm-hmm. Call me, girl. I know you'd be watching me right now. Call me. He's so embarrassed right now. Come on, you ain't going nowhere. All right. So covenant. Everybody shout covenant relationship. So I have sons and daughters in the faith that are called to this church, and their destiny was tied to me. There's certain people that I knew that I was tied to the first time I met them. Like at Sunset Hills, Arden and Susie always sit there to the left. And Arden and Susie, the first time I shook his hand 14 years ago, I turned around in an auditorium with thousands of people. I turned around, I shook his hand, and immediately I knew something. He's tied to me forever. Now, some people come and go, but there are some people that you know will be with you forever. But don't try to ruin your life chasing the one who left you, trying to make yourself think about them, trying to find out what they're doing on Facebook. Come on, somebody. Trying to see how their life is going. If they left from you, they were not called to you, and you got to learn the gift of goodbye. You got to say, see you later, alligator. After a while, crocodile. Come on, somebody. Bye, Felicia. Come on, Earth City. Bye, Felicia. Come on, Weldon. Bye, Felicia. See you later, alligator. After a while, crocodile. Some people just leave you. But what you can't do in those moments, notice Ruth and Naomi said, we're not going to talk bad about her. You don't hear them talking about her. You don't even hear them talking about her at all. They're just on with their new thing. In other words, everything happens. Nothing just happens. Everything happens in God's divine movement. So now they go to the next town. When they get to this city, it was Naomi's hometown. And now they're still starving. They still don't know what to do. They still don't know which direction to go. One, verse 6, one more time. It said, but Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you, or turn back from following after you. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. And your people will be my people. And your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. And where you're buried, I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death departs us. In other words, there's a covenant. A covenant. Now, people don't really understand covenant today. As soon as people get a job, they get right on Monster to find the next job. Come on, somebody. I ain't pointing at nobody. So then if you own corporations or you're, if you own your own organization, you know how hard it is to find good people. Because sometimes I'll think about it, and I don't even interview people, so don't come up to me looking for a job because I don't even know how to give you a job. But the people that on our staff that interview job, they have like exams they make people take, and they take personality profiles. And then you got to have HR talk to them to make sure you don't say anything that's stupid, because there's always people that say, I'm not looking for a job, but I'm looking to sue you so I never have to get a job. Come on, somebody, ought to help me right now. And so really getting a job sometimes is like speed dating. So now you meet somebody one, two, or three times, and you don't know if they're straight up cray-cray. Wow. I mean, they took their medicine at 9, noon, and 3, and they were normal. But come Monday, when they forgot to take it on Sunday, somebody ought to help me right now. Then I just cry. So what you got to be careful of in today's society is not many people get together and get married and stay together. Not many people say, hey, like you and Arden, like me and Omar, like me and Pastor Phil, like me and Pastor Morgan, like me and Pastor Adrian, there are certain people on my team that's been with me the whole time. Some of them have been with me before the 14-year time, and they're people that I know, they've made a covenant to God, and they say, hey, PD, where you go, I go. Where you pray, I pray. When you fast, I fast. Come on, somebody. What you like, I like. And I'm not saying unto me. I'm saying unto her. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So she said, nothing but death, verse 16, nothing but death will ever separate us. Wow. Verse 17, 117 says, where you die, I die. Where you buried, I buried. Then the Lord, nothing shall separate me but death. Verse 18, when she saw that she was determined, I love that. Verse 18, when she saw that she was determined, I'm going to say it again. When the old lady, yeah, I said it. When she saw that, she was determined. Now she starts imparting her anointing in. She starts imparting her giftings in. She starts imparting things that only you can get when you're 39, 95, and some change. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. So when you're 18 and you think you know it all, God will send some people, nothing just happens, God will send some people that are older than you to say, I've been around that corner and I know what's there and you don't want none of that. I know what it's like to be faithful. I know what it's like to serve God. She saw that. She was determined. Everybody shout, I'm determined.
I'm determined.
She was determined. Now the next thing that happens is now she ends up saying, hey, listen, I need to go out and I need to get a job. In chapter 2, verse 3, look at your neighbor and say, that's your word, get a job. Tell them, come on, Sunset, come on, our city. Come on, Welly, get a job. Everybody at Welly ain't got a job. I know that's right. 2:1. There was a relative of Naomi's husband who was a man of great wealth. His name was Boaz. I ain't going for that joke right now. I know y'all want me to go there, but I can't do it. I got a little trouble for the last time. I'm not doing it again. But he was a man of great wealth. Everybody shout, great wealth.
Great wealth.
So now she's in the right place. She's surrounded by the right mentor. And now she is led to this field that is actually the relative of Naomi. And you know how the story goes. It says that she was gleaning in the field, and as she's gleaning in the field, Boaz comes up, and he owns the field, but he's not in charge of it. In other words, his structure and systems, and it runs without him. But he saw this girl, and that's where the song was written. Who's that lady? Who's that lady? Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. And he looked at her, and she did not even know that she was being watched. I want you to write that down. You don't know that you're being watched. Some of you right now are being watched by other people, and they're seeing if you're committed or not. Because there's a difference between being committed and needing to be committed. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. So some people need to be committed, but then there's other people that are be committed. Yay! Okay. So now he's watching her. In other words, God is setting up this season to show her that I'm about to put my super on your natural. And while she's out gathering, he looks and says, who is it? Then he tells his guys, hey, I got an idea. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to stop cleaning the field as good as you were. I want you to leave massive amounts on the hook. So now when she comes home and Ruth walks in and Naomi sees massive bags of food. She said, "Girl, where you been? What you been doing?" She said, "I was just working." She said, No, you don't understand. This is not normal. No, I was just working. Nothing happened." No, she said, No. Somebody somewhere is letting things happen to you that normally would. Because I saw three or four other people walking home. They had little bits in their bag. And then I watched you come in here, girl, and you can't even carry all this. In other words, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly and above all you could ever ask or think according to the power that works within you. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by my spirit, says the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. God's on the scene. Nothing just happens. Come on, sit down. Earth City, you better be shouting. Come on, Weldon, wave at me. I know you're shouting today. This is shouting material right now. God is setting you up for this next season. Nothing just happens. So then, that's when the mentor comes in. This is why church is so important. This is why small groups are so important. This is why it is incredibly important this weekend that you start figuring out which iConnect you want to go to. So today when you're done and you're here at this campus in Royal Palm, you need to go outside and get under that tent and say, "Where are the iConnects?" If you're in Sunset Hills, go to the back of that giant lobby and that big information desk. If you're at Weldon, you walk out that door and to your right, there they stand. If you're at Sunset Hills or Earth City, find it and get connected, because when this appointment happens, if you don't realize it is a divine appointment, you can miss your opportunity. What happens when you miss your opportunity? Sometimes you get miserable. You get out of the will of God. Because by the time most people, check this out, God spoke this to me today. He said by the time most people get enough wisdom to do what they need to do, they're too old to do it. In other words, have you got more wisdom now than you did when you were 20? Raise your hand. But do you look at yourself in the mirror and you see lines that you didn't see when you were 20? It's sagging, bagging, and dragging. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. You reach down to pick up your socks and it's your skin. You say, "Oh my Lord, what is happening here right now?" So you got to make sure in this season, everybody shout, "In this season." Come on, shout it again. In this season, you need a mentor. In this season, you need to make sure somebody's there to help you understand the severity of the moment, the sacredness of the moment, the seriousness of the moment, and really the system of the moment, to say, "Hang on a minute, I'm not just in some kind of like weird thing." You got to look around and say, this doesn't happen to everybody. Everybody shout, "This doesn't happen to everybody." See, I remember when I was doing what God called me to do and my dad died. That was a disappointment to me. 56 years old. He died about 5 minutes from Sunset Hills campus. And I had no clue that that was going to happen. I was surprised. I was disappointed. But out of that disappointment, some older people that I was connected to came to me. If I told you them, several of them are national ministries. They came to me, and one of them being Joyce Meyer, saying, "Hey, here's what God is getting ready to do in your life." Now, if you'd have told me that day what God was going to do and all these campuses and all the things that God's done, the global outreach of the ministry in 14 years, if you'd have said, "Your life's going to look like this," I would either had a heart attack, this is the big one, or I would have laughed in your face and thought, "That'll never happen." But you cannot underestimate the power of the pain of the process. Come on, somebody, that God is allowing to happen into you. Because when I looked inside the pain, when I look back and I see the process, then I can see the promotion, but I wouldn't have seen the promotion if it hadn't been for the pain. I wouldn't have had the pain. I wouldn't have developed the process. Somebody ought to help me right now. Don't tell me it's not going to happen to you. Nothing just happens. Come on, shout it. Nothing just happens. Come on, all campuses.
Nothing just happens.
Feels good. Shout it one more time. What?
Nothing just happens.
Nothing just happens. Now, in these moments where you are disappointed, and maybe you made a mistake. How many of y'all like me and you've made a lot of mistakes? Raise your hand. If you didn't raise your hand, you just made another mistake. You should try it. Let's try it one more time. Anybody ever made a mistake? In fact, I'll tell you something about me. When I said earlier that I don't hire people, I'm horrible at hiring people. I'm the worst because I love everybody. You could be the biggest job-hopping loser in the world, and I'd be like, man, I like this guy. I just really do. I feel good about him because I like everybody. I don't care little people, short people, tall people, black people, white people, Spanish people. I never saw people I didn't like. I like everybody. I've almost been stabbed by people that I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to like them. So in your life, though, you have to make sure that, hang on a minute, God's doing something right here. Nothing just happens for no reason. God's up to something, and I've got to allow myself to be okay with making that mistake. So this weekend, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about the story of a guy who got swallowed by a whale. Now, I know that's a whale of a story. A lot of you have trouble believing that. You're like, man, I believe that's metaphorical, and I don't believe it really happened. How could that happen? Well, you know what? I don't understand everything, but I believe if God said that Jonah swallowed a whale, I would believe that part too. I don't understand a lot of things. I don't understand how a brown cow eats green grass and gives white milk, but I still drink it in my coffee. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. By the way, coffee's in the Bible. It's got a whole book. It's called Hebrews. Okay, so check this out. We're almost done. I got about 10 minutes here, 8 minutes maybe. So check this out. Jonah is told to go to Nineveh, and he goes to Tarshish. But yet, after he's out of the will of God, nothing just happens. They end up throwing him off the boat. And when they throw him off the boat, it says the Lord had prepared for him a great fish. And the fish swallowed him up. And it says that Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights. And then Jesus says this, and we find out later that it's actually a shadow, a foreshadowing of what Jesus would be. It said, for the Son of Man was in hell for 3 days and three nights. In other words, God knew the whole time that Jonah was going to do what he was going to do. And God knew the whole time that Adam was going to do what he was going to do. And so at the time, when it was time to do what God needed to do, God loved us so much, he sends Jesus. And now 3 days and three nights, Jesus is in hell buying back the bad decision of Adam. He's making right what isn't right through the blood covenant. Somebody ought to help me right now. And the man Jesus, if you must know, the man Jesus came out of the loins of this happening in the book of Ruth. You can trace all of it back to this moment of a mess. God's going to turn your mess into a message. Everybody shout, mess into a message. I want to see sunset on the screen. Everybody shout, mess into a message. Come on, shout it again. What?
Mess into a message.
Nothing just happens. So even when we think we've made a wrong move, or even if it looks like we're losing, technically we're winning. For 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. It said many of the afflictions of the righteous. Sure, there's a lot of afflictions. There's a lot of problems. But the Lord delivers them out of them all. Now, here's the problem. Oftentimes when you're going through hell, you don't realize that actually God's going to turn the reverse to a promotion. That actually the setback is going to be your comeback. That the pain is going to develop the process for the promotion. But if you try to tinker with it, you're going to mess it up. Nothing just happens. When I think about Weldon Spring campus, several years ago, I was riding my motorcycle around the Weldon Spring campus. I just all of a sudden saw this cool looking church. I thought, boy, that's a cool looking church. I never seen that church before. I thought, boy, it looks a beautiful church and big old glass and a wonderful place. And I just drove through the parking lot and just kind of Googled it and thought, wonder what kind of church this is. Now, fast forward about 2 years past that, we get a call from a real estate agent that said that church had a split and they couldn't pay the bank, and I knew exactly what church it was. Now, it's about 40 minutes from where my office was, but I was sitting in the process, in the parking lot, and I had no real clue that nothing just happens. If I had known sitting in that parking lot, I would have looked around and took more pictures. I would have thought, well, someday it's going to be a church. And someday we're going to have that, you know, a basketball court. And someday we're going to have this. I didn't realize. And may I suggest to you right now, out of all our campuses today, that you might be driving past your house this weekend and don't realize it's yours. You might be driving past your car and don't realize it's yours. You might be driving past an office complex and you have no clue that someday you're going to own the front. Somebody ought to help me right now. Because inside the disappointment is a divine appointment. The pastor thought he just forgot his wallet. And now I have a beautiful daughter in love. Amen. Everything that you're worried about right now, it's going to make sense later. Two things before we go. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, two things before we go. I'm going to close here in the next 5 minutes. Look at your neighbor and say, no, he's not. He's a liar. Come on, just tell him. He's lying. He's lying right now. You can tell when he's lying. He ain't quitting right now. Come on, Earth City. Come on, everybody high five each other. High five somebody right now. Come on, Sunset. All right. Last story. Here's where it gets real. I know I talk about it a lot, but this campus that I'm at right now in Royal Palm, broadcasting to you, I remember that, if we could turn those radios down, I remember that I was in St. Louis and God was dealing with me about starting a church in Florida. Now, I wasn't like I needed a church in Florida to go to Florida and visit, because when I turned 40, Nicole bought me a motorcycle and planted it in Florida. So for 8 years, I've been coming down here. In fact, the motorcycle that I have here is still the same motorcycle. I'm hoping when I turn 50, she's going to buy me a new one. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. I love you, boo. You're my baby. What's up? I didn't mean it. So now watch this appointment. I'm in Dallas, Texas, way away from West Palm, Florida, West Palm Beach. And I'm on this show with a lot of big names. I mean, it's really big names. And I did my sermon, did all that, and I was drawn to this guy. His name is Randall Taylor. Never met him before. I think he's just like a dream teamer. He's just maybe a driver. I don't know. But I'm leaving these big name preachers, and I'm just hanging out with him. And I don't know why, except I used to be a dream team guy, and I was a pilot for some preachers, and everybody blew me off. And it's always weird, so I'm always kind of nice to the little guy. In fact, I just preached in a church in Chicago the other day that they blew me off, and then they asked me to preach. You know, 14 years later, and I go, I don't know if I want to go or not. But I did go back, but I did tell them of their transgression. Come on, somebody ought to help them. Yeah. They said, oh, I can't believe it. I said, oh, yeah, you did it. Yeah, you did. So watch this, though. It's a divine appointment. I meet Randall. Randall says, I love your sermon. I'm like, Randall, what do you do? He said, I buy all the TV time for Joseph Prince. Amen. I buy it all for Joyce Meyer. Come on, Dave, do something. So I said, well, that's something. He said, have you ever thought about, you know, having a national TV ministry? I said, no, I don't want to do that. I said, there's only one place I want to go on television, and that's in West Palm Beach, Florida. And he said, really? He said, actually, I'm a buyer for Fox in West Palm, and there's a slot that's coming up at 11 a.m. prime time on a Sunday morning. I'll find out how much it is. Check this out. I'm almost done. So he finds out how much it is. Now, it's a whole lot of money. I always called it the mayonnaise program. Mayonnaise going to need to be a miracle of money to get me on this station. And so I got invited. Watch this. Nothing just happens for a reason. I get invited by a guy to the Caymans. When I get to the Caymans, we're sitting at this man's home, and he had been a great generous donor to the church. And he asked me, it was wintertime, and said, would you come to my house in the Bahamas or Caymans? I'll send my jet to get you. And I said, let me pray about it. The Lord said, yes, do it. So I did. And so I show up, and we're at this little table, and this guy says, I think it's just a day. You're thinking right now it's just another day. You're thinking you just came, you know, if I could just get through this weekend, next weekend is Labor Day weekend, and I'm going to go to the lake. There's one more weekend. God help me. But all of a sudden, the guy goes, hey, when are you going to start that church in West Palm Beach, Florida? And I said, well, nobody knows me there, so I need to go on television. He said, how much does it cost? And I said, I just happen to know. Check this out. If I hadn't talked to the little guy wouldn't have hooked me up with the big guy, and the big guy wouldn't have hooked me up with Fox. And so I told him, and he said, well, I'll pay all the bills. And so for 1 year, he paid the bills. Then the ratings at Fox went so good, we went on CBS. And then we went on NBC. And the guy kept paying the bills. And the bills were $30,000 every 30 days. And he kept paying it for 3 years. Because God can take nothing and make something happen. Somebody ought to help. And now I know all of you. Come on, somebody ought to help me. Know everybody at the West Palm campus. People getting healed. People getting set free. All kinds of people be watching, because inside my disappointment was an appointment that God had. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. So you go clean in that field. You don't let this setback kill you. You say the divorce is not going to kill me. I'm stronger than that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Come on, somebody ought to give God. I dare you to praise Him. Come on, Earth City. Come on, I dare you. Give Him about 10 seconds. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Come on, sing it. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. One more time. Oh, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battle. Come on. This is how I fight my battle. Come on, Wellen. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. One more time, it may look like, oh, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Come on, lift your hands and sing it.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
It may look like,
it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
This is how I fight my battles.
See, this is how I fight my battles.
Come on, all campuses. I want to pray for you right now. Every head bowed and every eye closed, every campus. I can't see your hand at all campuses, but I can see them at some of them. God can definitely see your hand. You say, Pastor David, this is the word I needed tonight. I've been through some disappointments. I've been through some trials. I've had some scenarios that didn't look so good, but I'm committed. I'm committed to God. I'm committed to this house. I'm committed to an iConnect group. I'm not going to do life alone. But I need you to pray for me today, Pastor David. Whether you're at Weldon, Sunset Hills, Earth City, wherever you're at, there's no distance in prayer, online. I want you to slide your hand up right now if you say, I need prayer. I need you to pray. Come on, raise that hand. I want to see it all campuses. You can put it down right now. Now I want you to go ahead and look back at me before I pray for you. I feel led of the Lord to tell you this. I hear the Holy Spirit tell me, it won't always be this way. It'll all have closure and make sense later. And at the end of this trail, you'll look back and say, oh, that's what you were doing the whole time. That's the way you fight your battles. I want to pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. God, I thank you that you're bringing closure to every part of our life. God, I pray for that woman who's been abused and lied on, started out from a child, and now she feels so abandoned and hurt. I pray for her right now. I pray for every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl that they're in a season right now of disappointment. And I thank you, God, you will begin to reveal your appointment even today. Satan, I rebuke you. I'll say, this is the weekend that they are free. As they go into this next week and they close out the month of August, we go into this new area. God, I decree and declare right now that they're coming through with strength and favor and supernatural appointments like I had with Randall. They will have it, even starting this week. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a praise one more time.
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.